If you go to thomasgriffin.org, there's a button up there that says prayer music. You can click that, you'll find it. Right now we're still giving away one of our, I've sold 70,000 copies of this one CD. And it's just supernatural because I don't have a label or anything, but this one CD volume one, you can get it right now for, just pay shipping, $6.95, shipping and handling. It covers the material, the team, the things. And then there's other CDs there if you want them, but you can get that right now for, it's a $20 CD that I give away for free. The Lord's given me a strategy. I've done it for 5 years, almost 6 years. I've given away this $20 CD for the cost of shipping and handling material and to 70,000 people. And it'll create an atmosphere of worship because the anointing lifts the burden, destroys the yoke. It'll help you silence the sounds of the world, the distraction, life circumstance, and just focus on Him. I started Spirit Fuel in 7 years ago, so 2013. And we've seen hundreds of thousands of people reach for the glory of God. And it's just been an incredible adventure. It's not always easy. But we have been sold out and poured out for a long time. And, people look at me and they see me young. And it's funny because even in the business world, people look at me and they just think I'm just getting started. But I've been in ministry now close to 20 years in full-time ministry for 15 of that. And when they find out I have 6 kids, they ask me if we've started a TV show yet. So it's pretty much, they say we're one child away from a TLC TV show. So we'll see. But God's been good. God's been good. We've been blessed to reach a lot of people. But with all the networking and all the people we know and all the things we've done, my favorite place is the secret place. My favorite place is just me and the Lord. And if you don't cling to that place, everything else just becomes a distraction. Mm-hmm. And you don't want things to become a distraction because it'll remove them. So it's a holy life of learning order and priority. But I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have a big family, a big ministry family. And the Lord has used us to make a big impact in the earth for His glory. I was really confused when I started worship music. I was, the reason why I was confused is because when I started, I was 14 years old, and my dad had a very prestigious church in one of the richest, most beautiful sections of Tallahassee, Florida. And my dad, we had a really nice church, 20-foot stained glass windows, robed choir, organ and piano. It was really traditional in that sense. So anyways, my mother at 41 years old, she got cancer and 13 other infectious diseases. So I had to start playing the piano for my dad's service. And I'll never forget, he had me up on a service in front of 200 people. And he said, I was playing drums at the time. And he said, son, why don't you come play the piano? And the only thing I knew how to play was Heart and Soul, that da 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 da. And it took two people to play that. So I was already in trouble because it was just me. And I remember saying, that was so embarrassing. If he's going to do this to me again, I better learn how to play. And the longer story short is I locked myself in a bedroom with Brownsville Revival VHS tapes, the kind you had to stop and rewind and start over. And I worshiped. I hooked up my keyboard and I just worshiped. And I worshiped in the environment of revival. And from there, it was interesting because when I say I was musically confused, because on Sundays I was leading worship for hymns and Hosanna integrity worship songs like I sing praises to your name, oh Lord. And I love those songs. They had a very precious, special place. But on Mondays, we would sneak over to someone else's youth group and we would learn contemporary worship music. And then on Wednesdays, I would sneak over to an old gospel black Kojic church, and we would sing songs like, can't nobody do me like Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was learning all these styles at the same time. And I was like, Lord, what are you doing? You know, because I had to learn it all at the same time. And what he was doing was he was creating a bridge. And so the Lord, there was, I'll tell you a really powerful story. At 13 years old, 14 years old, I had a skin condition to where I couldn't sweat through my pores. And it would cause me to open up in first degree burns. And I literally lift my fingernails up off of my fingernail bed. And it hurt so bad. But I was determined to play. And so there was like this perseverance thing happening. And I was learning guitar at the same time. And I would bleed all over the piano. Sometimes I would stay for hours because it took an hour just to get to where my fingers were numb enough to really not have to think about the pain. And this gentleman comes into our church after a year or so of that, year and a half. And he prays for me, and he declares that I'm going to be a bridge between the generations in worship, that I would connect. Because our church, like many, was split right down the middle. And when I say split down the middle, half sat on one side and half sat on the other. The half that liked the hymns and the old worship sat on one side. And it's just, that's not the right thing to happen, even though I understand it now, you know, because I'm now one of those people that don't like any of the new music. So I've kind of turned a little bit, but I understand it. But there was also a glory on the older music that we were forsaking. The whole generation was forsaking. And so I had to learn that. But this guy comes in and he prophesies that I'll be a bridge, and that I would be one of many people that would be a bridge. And that's kind of what we still need right now. But I started pouring oil through my hands, and it wasn't like a film. It wasn't like a little bit. I literally started pouring oil, and I was able to, I wiped it all over the grand piano. I wiped it on the walls of the, I walked through the whole church and wiped it on the walls of the church. I wiped it on the pews. And from that day, I was miraculously healed. Nothing, I never again struggled with bleeding or burning or breaking out in first degree burns. It was a miracle. It really was. But it was one of many miracles that I had seen in my life and seen, you know, happened to other people. It was the first miracle that happened to me. And so the Lord did something in that time that I almost didn't have a preference anymore. I didn't know it was leading to this, where we're at today, where I'm prophetically singing over people. But he was creating in me something that didn't need to have any self-preference. It's kind of like I couldn't find one style that I liked. So I loved hymns. I loved Maranatha worship. I loved prophetic worship. I loved revival worship. I love Clint Brown. I love those, any type of music. I was so uprooted and so almost dissatisfied that I couldn't find something to latch on to that I called my style. I didn't realize the Lord was protecting me from having my anything. And it was really an upbringing of a holy dissatisfaction that led to liberty to be able to be anything that was needed at the time. If I go into a Methodist church, I sing hymns. If I go into a Pentecostal church, we sing for 2 hours on one song. You know, it's one of those things where the Lord just detached me even in the early days. And, you know, I often tell musicians and worship leaders this, if I could go back 10 years, I would say, just go ahead and die to self and get it over with. Dead to self-preference, dead to having requirements of it has to be this way, it has to look like that. I want you to think about Uzzah. When Uzzah was carrying the ark and they hit a bump and he reached up and touched it and he died because he touched the glory of the Lord. Think about him, not that he made a mistake, because that story always kind of frustrated me because I didn't see where he made a mistake. They just had an accident.
Right.
But the Lord was showing us something through that, is he was showing us how to walk, because the men and women that had to carry the ark after him had to kiss their wives goodbye and say, I may not come back. They had to kiss their lives goodbye and say, well, all these things that I bought, all the living that I've made, all the house that I've prepared, everything they had done up until that point, they had to walk out the door knowing that they may not come back, that they're living dead to self. And it was a powerful parable. Jesus loved parables, and even in the Old Testament, in these stories, you can see parables. And this was a parable of how to carry the ark, how to carry the covenant of God on your shoulders, is to cover it knowing that you and your preference takes a back seat to what his priority and his holy order is. And it really got me one day when I was thinking about moving from anointing to glory, moving from a place where you're just anointed to do what you do into moving into a place where you're operating from a place of what he wants to do and what he can do. It's a different place. It's a different portion. Ministers, we have callings. Teachers, we have callings. We have the fivefold. We have these things, and we have a portion. You know, the Lord sat down with all the disciples at the Last Supper, and he gave to each of them a portion of his body and blood. He was again using a parable to show us that we all have a portion. But the greater portion is to tap into not what we've chosen to eat and drink. The greater portion is to tap in to the river of God, the spring well, the ever flowing spring of his presence, just continually pouring out. And we can operate in life from what we choose to eat and drink, because the only thing that stopped the disciples from having their fill was how much they decided to take. Kind of sounds like, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll be filled. The only thing that decided their portion was how much they chose. But we can operate from a place where there's rivers of living water in us, that we operate from an unlimited portion, a portion that doesn't fade. I don't know about you, but I can't live 3 days from now on today's portion. I just can't. I may be able to live tomorrow. I may be able to live a little bit the next day, but 3 days from now, I'm getting hungry. Mm-hmm. I'm getting weak. Having a wellspring in your life, having a river of living water in your life, having the kingdom of heaven within you, living from being seated in heavenly places with God, that's living from an endless portion. You know, a river constantly flows, and it's sourced. It's sourced from a greater body of water. And so you have to understand that what portion that we eat and drink sometimes is, we think is for others, it's really to sustain us. So when we minister to others, we really need to minister from the greater portion, the river of living water. And that means getting out of the way. That means getting out of the way and living like the people that came after Uzzah did. If it costs me everything, I'll still follow you. And I feel the presence of God right now. If it costs me everything, I'll still follow you. You know, Jesus walked like that. He decided from the very first miracle, before the very first miracle he ever did, that it's going to cost me everything, but I'll still do it. Sometimes the Lord has to dance around our emotions, and he can't reveal the plan that he has for us, because if we knew it was going to be hard, we'd probably bail. You know, the way to walk is to walk free of your own desires, to see it your own way, any personal requirements. You can't walk that way. That's a conditional yes. Your yes and amen needs to be blind to self. It needs to be blind to flesh. That's where holy surrender is found. The only way to find full surrender is in that place of death to self. And that's the way to walk. That's the way, that's the cross. And what does that look like? Well, that means instead of saying something nasty when you feel like it to someone that's being nasty, be love. When someone doesn't deserve forgiveness in your opinion, you have to forgive them. We have to hate the wickedness. I'm sorry if that's too real, but you can't love God and hate your brother or sister. That's the cross. I actually wanted to hate because of some of the stuff that I've seen. My flesh craves to hate. It's enmity towards God, and God is love. But it's the cross. That's what it means to walk like Uzzah, the people that carried the Ark, the covenant after Uzzah did, is a reality of I don't matter, my flesh doesn't matter. What matters is what he wants to do, is Christ in me, is the hope of glory. I just believe that God is moving us into a place of surrender so that he can use us like never before. It's a place of surrender like never before, so he can use us like never before. It's hard. It's not easy, but it's simple. It's the cross. Prophetic worship can't happen until we're out of the way. Prophetic worship is worship that is flowing from the throne. It's worship that declares things under the authority of heaven. It's worship that is surrendered. It's worship that doesn't have to do its thing. It's not about talent. It's not even about anointing, although the anointing, I believe, is an absolute prerequisite for leading people in worship, quote unquote. I like to call it lead worshipers, not worship leading. But the prophetic side of it is hearing his voice and releasing his sound. You have to understand also that when it comes to releasing his sound, you have to release his nature too. I don't know if you've ever read a text from someone that you didn't know real well, but you can read that text 1,000 different ways depending upon how you feel and what you're going through. But to understand what that text is really saying, you have to know the nature of the person that sent it. There's times where I even misread the nature of people that I, you know, misread a text from people I know their nature. But knowing their nature is the reassurance, is going, well, they wouldn't really mean it like that. I know better. I know better because I know them. Sometimes people get a word from the Lord, even in prophetic worship, that it's his words, but it's not his sound. And that's where we miss it, because that if you read a text the wrong way because you didn't know the nature in which it was said and who said it, then that text becomes viable to be false. It actually has a viability to no longer be truth. So 90% of, now in marketing, what I've done in marketing, I've learned that 90% of communication is visual. We have this thing in the spirit that no man can see his face and live. So that means that there is a dying that has to happen to see his face. But seeing his face is the only way we understand the nature and what he's saying. It's 90% visual. I hope you can hear what I'm saying. I hope that makes sense to you. But the reality is that if you're going to convey his words with his voice and with his nature, we have to come back to this, no man can see his face and live. We have to come back to understanding that when you see his face, it's like water that you'll never thirst again. You become fully consumed and fulfilled with having his portion instead of yours. It's a very interesting place. It's taken me many, many years. And the Lord knows that I'm surely not there yet. But every day is a dying. It's kind of like marriage. You know how marriage, you don't just say, I do once. You say, I do every single day. It's a continual process. There's things with my wife that 18 years now, I'm still discovering who she is. Because who she is deep. It's complex. It's how much more God, you know, and so I'm rediscovering her every day. And God is the same way. We discover new levels, new depths of his heart, his desires. Not only his desires, but his desires for us, his thoughts for us. How do you discover someone's thoughts? Well, you speak to them. You have communication. You have time equity. I don't know how we ever expect to have a relationship with the Lord and hear him without time equity with him. That's where intimacy is birthed. There is this knowing that I think every person, it's kind of like if you're going to, I watch our president spokesperson, what's her name, Kaylee or something like that. Imagine if she didn't know the president that tried to just relay his words. Imagine what misconstrusions would be there. She knows, you know, she can say, no, the president didn't say, I talked to him about this. In my conversation with the president, we discussed this. She's had time equity with the president. so she can correctly display and convey not only his words, but the nature in which he said it, because she was there, she heard his voice. The prophetic worship requires a prerequisite of relationship. And if you find someone that is operating in the prophetic, but there's no evidence of relationship, run, run. If they only know, if they only know his words, but they don't have a glory on them that like Moses had, that was evidence that he had been with God. If there's no anointing, run. A lot of people can learn his words, especially plagiarize his words from other people. A lot of people, a lot of ministers can, a lot of prophetic ministers, they can read his words and sing it. But they can't read his heart and sing it. You have to know his heart. You have to hear his heart expressed through communication, and that takes relationship and time. So there's a, you know, for you to say, it's easy to say something like, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great. It's easy to say that. Because we can read it, we can hear that from other people, what he's done in their lives. But it's another thing to say, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul. Rejoice. It's a different place. Yeah. That kind of song, to sing it in spirit and truth,
Yeah. To
have truth to it, it has to be out of a deep place of relationship. It has to be. It's a priority of his presence. It's not a priority on performance. It's not a priority on doing what we want, you know. Oh, can you sing this song? Well, not if he says not this, you know, and says to sing it.
Right.
We got to be like Jesus has said, I do nothing except for what I hear from my Father.
Yeah.
And it's that way. You know, most of the worship leaders that I know, unfortunately, are still in such a growth process that they don't understand that yet. They're learning, they're moving it. But we've had a season of perpetual immaturity. That, praise the Lord, we're finally coming out of, because people like Josephine will actually talk about it. So thank God that there's fathers and mothers raising up to say, look, it's not supposed to be all about you and your song and your style and your drums and you're this and you're that.
Mm-hmm.
It really is about pressing in to hear what the Father wants to hear, but also what the Father wants to sing. Mm-hmm. He wants to sing through us and over his beloved.
Mm-hmm.
And so all that goes together with getting in the river of his presence and what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And being, you know, worshiping from being seated in heavenly places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, worship from the throne room is very different than worship from the pulpit. it's just different. So I appreciate what you're saying, because it's so true. It's really Esther anointing. Because Esther went in with the eunuch into the treasure room and say, what is the king like? Well, this is kind of like confessions of a worship leader. he's giving me songs that bombed, that he knew would bomb. Like nobody sung it, nobody would get on board, just so that I could stop what I was doing and say, okay, God, what do you really want to do? Because I would be going in one direction. And it's easy. Sometimes it's easier to hear what song he wants to do than it is what he wants to speak through the song. And that's where we have, you know, being unlocked to flow prophetically is a big deal, because it releases him to speak what he wants to speak to, who he wants to speak it to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, so I guess you could say the biggest takeaway from here is to carry the covenant, to carry his presence on your shoulders, to bring it to the people. You must walk dead to self. You must stay out of the way. Your style preference, your song preference, even your fears and anxiety, the unknown, the fear of rejection, all that has to be nailed to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be, in order to have true prophetic, which is in spirit, because you're seated in heavenly places operating from spirit, and truth because you have a relationship with the one that's speaking through you. We were taught in church sometimes mistakenly that God was after our worship. Well, that makes him a very egotistical feed me type God. He's not after our worship. That was a misconception. He seeks those that worship in spirit and truth. He seeks the heart. That one little truth right there, if you guys would all break up and just go into 1,000 churches each and just say, hey, I have one thing to tell you, you could revolutionize the mainstream church. If they understood that, then they would quit trying to perform for God.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of worship leaders, I had a lot of frustration with those that are in perpetual immaturity, but people aren't speaking truth to them. Their pastors need to tell them, look, God don't care how perfect it is today. He just wants your heart. He doesn't even, you know, he'll let you use whatever song you want to use if you bring your heart. I think this, the reason why he likes to direct which songs we sing is because some of the songs we sing, our heart's not in it. He doesn't like empty worship. It's as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It's not always easy, but it's simple. Surrender. And I surrender all. Lord, I surrender all to thee. Blessed Savior, I surrender all. Can we sing that without truth? We can. We shouldn't. Where the Spirit really, really starts moving is when you sing the songs and the lyrics are in truth. That's when power flows. That's when anointing flows. That's when his presence flows. Because you can have spirit. Josephine, you and I, we see it all the time. We see people who worship in spirit. What that means is simply they worship from inside, mm-hmm. not because of external circumstances. It's an inside worship. It's out of their experience. But sometimes you can have that without truth of relationship, and it has no power. It has no power to transform. It has the power to posture a heart, but it doesn't have the power to transform. And you can tell whatever touches the glory changes. And those that carry a portion of glory have died to self because they know it could cost them everything. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come quickly. See, when I sing that line, that's a prayer of mine. Come quickly, Lord. The days are getting wicked. The government's getting crazy. I need to see you face to face. But it's singing from truth. Did I just quote a scripture sing a line because it's scripture, or did I sing it because it's a prayer of my heart? Your kingdom come quickly. Your will be done the same on earth as it is in heaven. Let heaven come to earth as it is in heaven. Let heaven come. Let heaven come. Let heaven come. Let heaven come. Cause yours
It's the kingdom yours. It's the power yours. It's the glory forever. Amen. Yours. It's the kingdom yours. It's the power yours. It's the glory forever. Amen. 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 Also, understanding revelation can bring you to a new level of worship. Can I show you what that looks like real quick? That looks like you just saw it. I sing, on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so that we know that scripture, we know that prayer that Jesus said to pray. But there's an understanding in my heart that comes from revelation that when he said on earth, what he was talking about was earthen vessels. He was talking about us. It didn't mean just on this geographical location. On earth as it is in heaven is in the dust of the earth, which is us in our flesh. So when we're saying on earth as it is in heaven, we're actually saying in me as it is in heaven. So a revelation, well, where is that in the scripture? Well, it's in between the lines. It's where the Holy Spirit leads you to see and hear. Because without the Holy Spirit, it's just dead letter. That's so offensive to my brain because it's the word of God. But without the Holy Spirit, it's dead letter. So when the Holy Spirit illuminates it, he gives us a deeper understanding. Well, on earth as it is in heaven is all inclusive to anything that is of earth. And we were made from the dust of the earth. So when I sing that from the portion of revelation that he's given me, it has a deeper call. It you know how deep calls on the deep? Those words where someone else may be saying, yeah, in the earth around me, in my culture, in my church, in the things of the earth, in the geographical location. But then the same person can be sitting right next to them going, in me as it is in heaven. You know how you can have a service and you have three people sitting on a row and one feels nothing, the other one's completely wrecked and in tears, and then the other person's, oh, no, this is good. It's like the two sons that lived in the same house. They had the same resources, the same father, the same relationship. By blood, but they had a different experience. Mm-hmm. One thought himself a servant, the other one understood he was a son. Yeah. And you know what? To me, they were both in their father's house. So as far as eternity, I don't know that it makes a big difference. But for the one that understood he was a son, he had a greater exposure of who his father is now. He had a greater experience of his love. And he had a freedom and a liberty, and he had forgiveness, and he had grace and understanding of grace and mercy that the son that thought he was a servant didn't have. And so it's okay. You can't get upset when the person next to you doesn't feel something, and you're like, is your feeler broken? You know, you can't get upset because that's their level of relationship that they have. That's all they want. I mean, all this is full circle. When I was talking about the disciples, what decided the portion they got of his body and blood is how much they took. Jesus didn't say you can only have a little. So understand that revelation, not just revelation of who he is, because I can sing, how great is our God. That's from a revelation of who he is. But a revelation of understanding of his words. You know, it's understanding for the knowledge. The knowledge is a revelation of who he is through knowledge, but a revelation of who he is through understanding is a whole different level. And you can have one person singing, yours is the kingdom. And they're like, yes, we're singing scripture. But then the person next to him saying, you are everything in my life.
Right.
And everything in my life is you. You are all in all. two different experiences, just like the prodigal son, two different experiences, same house, same father, different level of worship, different level of relationship, a different level of understanding. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting that even though we sing spiritual songs, we need a revelation of understanding in the word also to bring us into the full depth of what singing to the Lord and singing to the people about the Lord can, to really reach the depth of the impact that worship can have to grow a relationship with our Father. Mm-hmm. Start considering the lyrics and holding up to the measurement of scripture and revelation that you know. And our objective for prophetic worship is to bring the kingdom. It's not to have prophetic worship. In heaven, we're not going to need prophetic worship. It's to bring a revelation of the kingdom. And a lot of that comes, you know, by coming as a child. A child knows that they don't know everything. Well, some of them do. The younger they are, the less influenced they are by the world, the more they know they need mommy and daddy for everything. Yeah. I had my 7-year-old out. We did a daddy day with 6 boys. We don't get to have the individual time. And so daddy days are really special when it's one-on-one. Oh, that'll preach right there. That just hit like fire. I looked, my 7-year-old is sitting across the table with me and he says, I just have to pinch myself. I can't believe this is real. And I said, because he has a revelation that dad today is all about me. I'm all about him. Guys, the truth part of spirit and in truth comes out of relationship. You're not going to have true worship, true prophetic. If you start releasing the prophetic without true relationship, you're going to damage some people because they need to hear the tone of his voice. They need to hear his heart exposed, which is love. It's patient. It's kind. It's long suffering. It does boast. We have so much worship that boasts. It's gentle. Everything that love is has to be conveyed through as the vehicle. Love has to be the vehicle of prophetic worship. When you start declaring things over people, it's no different than a prophetic word. If you deliver a prophetic word to somebody without love, oh, you're in dangerous territory. Yeah. And be careful, because the Father does not like to be misrepresented. I love the spontaneous songs that come out of truth, right? So the truth of the moment today, for us right now, as we're talking really about a dying, a getting out of the way, a bringing about his nature along with his voice. And there's this, as I'm talking, because we're talking about the things of the Father and we're talking about relationship, deep's calling the deep. There is this, I don't know about you, but when I talk about these things, there's this deep growing hunger that goes, I must know you more. I don't want to do anything without knowing you. Like Jesus said, I don't speak anything unless the Father speaks it. I don't do anything unless the Father says, do it. When you get into the realm of the prophetic, you realize if you have an understanding of what you're actually functioning in, how dangerous it is to operate in that without relationship, without knowing him, understanding that you have a responsibility to convey his nature. It's like a translator. I mean, I like Sean Bowles' stuff about translating God. Is you have a responsibility to understand who that person is, just like the White House spokesperson has a responsibility to understand who Trump is by nature. There's a responsibility as prophetic ministers and worshipers to understand that. And so what it does is when I speak about this, I go, dear Lord, let me know you more. I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to circulate partial truth because I delivered the knowledge without understanding. I delivered the words without nature. It creates a deep hunger that says, I must know you. I can't function in what you call me. I can't be salt and light to the earth without knowing you. It creates this deep longing. And songs can unlock that. Songs, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm going like, I'm remembering the times that I was delivered a word that didn't have the nature of God paired with it, and it wrecked me in a bad way. Made me go down paths that weren't God, that looked holy. They looked holy, it sounded holy. Let me tell you, Jezebel prophesies. And it sounds holy, and it looks holy. But there's no relationship, so there's no truth. So I can tell you, I have suffered in my life entire seasons of disobedience because someone said, God said, do this. And maybe he was saying do that, but it was because I didn't understand the nature in which he was saying it, the context in which he was saying it. I couldn't have understanding with the knowledge, and it was just knowledge, and it took me a wrong path. So I've suffered the pain of being in wildernesses of disobedience because someone said the right thing the wrong way. And I don't ever want to be guilty of leading anyone down that path. So there is this urgency that arises that I must know him. And not only know him like a marriage when you say I do, but know him like a good marriage that says I do every day. And the reason why we have so many different types of songs and things is because there are people that only know him as Jesus who died on the cross to take away our sins. That's why we sing songs like crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone. Okay, so do you understand crucified, laid behind a stone is the knowledge?
Right.
Rejected and alone is the knowledge of his sufferings, which comes through knowing him. That's why songs are so powerful. Sometimes we just so flippantly let the words go out, but there's power, there's knowledge and understanding if they're spiritual songs. That happens to be a spiritual song. You have a lot of songs that have only knowledge. And then you have a lot of prophetic people that only have understanding. People are like, yeah, that's great, but how does it apply?
Right.
And they're left with something useless.
That's right.
It's good, but it doesn't have worth because it's useless. It's good because it's praise, it's worship, but it doesn't have worth beyond the moment because there was no knowledge to go with the understanding. So yeah, it's a balance. And you know what? It's really the blood and water. It really is the word and its spirit. It's word and spirit. It's truth and spirit. Truth that comes through knowing him, through reading his word, the rhema, there's a balance. You have to have this prophetic thing requires a grounding, a root system. So, and then we get into songs that are true worship. Like, you can't sing this. I sing praises to your name. Sing that with me. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great, greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praise to your name. Oh Lord, for your name great, greatly to praise. I give glory to your name. Oh Lord, glory to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and great to you. Great. For your name is great.
That's the knowledge. Here's the truth.
And greatly to be praised.
Spirit and in truth. It's such a prerequisite for true worship. Listen, I'm going to say this in love. I'm going to say this in strength. And because I'm scared to say it, in courage. So I'm going to say it in courage. If you're having worship experiences and it's not growing your relationship with the Lord, they're not real. You can't have an encounter with the Lord and not grow in relationship with him. My heart breaks because so many are saying this is worship. So many are saying we're having a God encounter, and there's no God encounter. There's a knowledge encounter. There's no spirit. There's no truth. My heart breaks because we go to meetings called glory invasions and there's no glory. And we go home, and those of us that have tasted and seen, we kind of accept, well, that's where the church is, you know, and we make excuses. But the ones that came hungry go home and they go, well, if that's glory, my beer is better. In gentleness, ask questions like, where's the anointing? We have to show up and be a part of the solution. Don't focus on the problem. I spent so many years, I left the church for a long time. I didn't leave ministry, but I left the mainstream church for a long time because I was so bitter that people were eating crumbs when they had a table spread before them. But you can't get caught up in the disappointment. You can't get caught because all of a sudden the salt and light that God's called you to be to that circumstance now sits at home and doesn't come and provoke those to jealousy that he's called you to provoke to jealousy. So go show up to those dead services if the Lord's called you to, and be a part of the solution and provoke to jealousy. But if they never get hungry, run. Yeah. Go show up to dry places. The kingdom of heaven is within you, and pour out worship before them, not as a spectacle, but as a provocation. My friends, a lot of this generation hasn't even tasted. You can't hunger after something you've never tasted. I look at so much garbage out here that's called worship, and it's just, but you can't hold it against them because they've never tasted and seen. I'd love to hold the leaders accountable, but it's not my place. I'm not the judge. My flesh wants me to hold them accountable because I'm frustrated that they're not saying, where's the anointing? Where's the real glory? Real glory makes you want to crawl into the lowest place in the room and hide in the fear of the Lord and clothe yourself in Christ. It doesn't make you want to high five your neighbor. Can you still feel a little bit of cynicism in my voice? Just being real with you. So what we have to do is go be salt and light to those environments. If the Lord's called us to that place, remember we were talking about dying. Sometimes he can tell us, hey, it's dry, but I want you to go. I want you to go be life. And that's when it matters that we're dead, because our preferences is like, that's not real appealing, you know? So show up and be the solution. Provoke those that are at ease in Zion to hot, fiery love and passion for the Lord. Go be a difference. Go worship in the midst of the deadness, because you have everything you need in you. It's like a seed. You know, it just takes the right environment, but you have everything you need in you to worship all by yourself with the Lord. Is he not present in the throne of your heart? So it doesn't matter if he's enthroned in the room. If he's enthroned in your heart, then you can go and worship and be a part of the solution. But if there's a continual, perpetual acceptance of apathy, run. Because, you know, if the leaders, what's in the head is in the body. If the leaders don't want it, then it'll never be in the body. So, but just be strong and be courageous. Show up and worship authentically. Worship from spirit and truth. I want to pray over you. Father, I just thank you for this moment of fellowship. And Lord, thank you that there's understanding. Thank you that you are calling us to a deeper place of hunger, that you're calling us to be salt and light to dead and dry places. Thank you, Lord, that we don't get caught up in the discouragement and distraction of flesh that keeps calling it glory. Thank you, Lord, that you've tenderized our heart for your people, that we want them to eat more than crumbs. We've tasted and seen, and we understand the responsibility of those that have tasted and seen to go in and provoke to hunger those that are at ease. Lord, soften the hearts of the pastors. Give them a pursuit for substance, for presence, a priority of your presence. Lord, we know that all of this takes a dying to self, so help us. We know it's not easy, but it's simple. Help us get out of the way, Lord, not just once, like saying I do in a marriage, but every day that says I still do every single day. Teach us, Lord, that yesterday's portion is not enough, that the manna dries up and it rots, that we need a new portion every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread, Lord, let us not forsake our daily bread and become weak because we're not eating our daily bread. But let us be strong and courageous because we're continually filling our spirit, man, with the things of your spirit and fellowshipping with you. And let us make a difference. Let your glory shine on our face because like Moses, we met with you. Let us operate in truth. Let that be a witness. Lord, that we wouldn't need to hand out tracts, that we wouldn't need to try to get people to understand through knowledge, but that they would understand by the witness of our life,
yes,
that it comes with transformative glory that rests on our body. And Lord, that whenever you call us and create opportunities to speak, that we can speak things that are true, not just knowledge, things that have understanding, that are rooted and applied and actually functioning in our lives, Lord. Thank you for that portion that we don't have to speak words without your nature because we know you and we know your nature. Lord, give us the grace to not just communicate your words, but your face too. Let us be a mirror that reflects you, and we hide ourselves in Jesus and what he's done and his portion, because when we've seen Jesus, we've seen you. And so, Lord, we wrap ourselves and hide ourselves in your son and what you've done. And we pray that you enable us to be well-bodied ministers, to make an impact that carries glory, that operates in spirit of truth, knowledge, and understanding, so that the full portion of who you are can be seen, and that you would be lifted up and all men would be drawn unto you. Lord, help us with these things. It's simple, but it's not always easy. Help us with these things. Teach us to endure. We don't even like that word, Lord, but teach us to endure through the cross, through the dying of self, to love when we want to hate, to forgive when we want to hold grudges, to forget when we want to remember, to extend peace and extend an olive branch to people we know are going to reject us. Lord, help us to know you through your sufferings, that we would love everyone, but not everyone would love back, and that it would be well with our soul. Lord, let this be so that we can have an understanding of who you are and correctly, adequately, and in perfection of who you are, not who we are, convey who our Father is. Lord, we don't have our own ministries, but we participate in the ministry of Jesus to reveal Abba. That's our heart's cry. Is to participate in the ministry of Jesus.
Yes.
Send the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Lord, like you did for Jesus, that signs, wonders, and miracles would follow us, that power would be evidence of knowing our Father, but for the purpose of revealing our Father, just like it was with Jesus. Revealing you, Abba, is our desire. Let us participate in the anointing, the call, and even the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus. Let us participate in that understanding of who you are, to know you in your victories and your sufferings both, so that we can get out of the way and be salt and light like you called us to. Lord, I just feel like I need to pray this. Lord, we let go of distraction and we pray, refocus our focus, Jesus. That because you're all in all, it's all about you. That even the circumstances and the things that arise would not be a distraction, but we would look past it and see you. That we would understand that what's happening to us is not about what's happening to us, it's what's happening in us. and keep our eyes like dove's eyes forever fixed on you, so that we could do exactly what you say to do and not add to it or take away. Let us be fully poured out for your name's sake. This is the hope of glory, is you in us, your Son in us. Glorify your name in all the earth, that we would bear the fruit of Christ, that death, burial, and resurrection, that truth of relationship, and that operating from being seated in heavenly places in spirit. Let all these things, Lord, these are deep things. These are deep things. These are ancient keys. And sometimes our mind can't even comprehend it. But Lord, let your spirit do what our mind cannot. Cement these things in our heart, that even when our mind doesn't get it and our mind slips, our heart remains right and in right standing, and we operate and minister from a place of right standing. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. And we don't want to take any glory from you. And we will not contaminate what you want to do. Jesus. Forever and ever. Amen. But let's let that stay our prayer. Refocus our focus and keep our focus on you, Lord. So it's been an honor to be with you guys. I believe in each and every single one of you. You have a divine destiny on you. The lady here in the blue scarf, what is your name?
Beth.
Your ministry has almost just begun. You've been ministering, but everything that you've done, the light that you've been in the earth, is going to shine so much greater. You might have thought it was coming to a close, and because you're in a later season of life, but you've just begun. God will do more in the next 2 years of your life than he's done in the last two decades combined. Okay, but it's not going to be, it's, don't have any requirements on what it should be. Don't have any requirements, because the Lord will give you to one or two people that will affect the nation. He will have you, he will cause you to say one or two things to one or two people that will change the face of how many leaders operate. And so it's the small things, it's the insignificant moments that we think is insignificant, where someone comes and you think they're just complaining, but they're actually crying out for help. And God's going to give you the words. Don't be anxious, don't be fearful, be strong and be courageous. Stay empty so that he can move through you. But God will do more in the next 2 years than he has the last two decades combined, as far as impact of your life on others. I can't see everybody in the room, but I feel like there's something for someone in the room that has been crying out to know him more, but you've plateaued, you've read as much as you can read, you're praying as much as you can pray, and you actually feel a little bit of condemnation, by the way, it's not holy, that you don't read enough or pray enough, but you've basically done all that you could, but you want to know him more. This is going to sound bad, but I promise you it's blessed. You're going to be able to know him through his suffering. It's a new level. Okay. It's a new level. That means that when people reject you, you're going to understand what Jesus felt. He's going to call you to love people that won't love you back. And he wants you to stay focused on continuing to love. Because when you love someone, you're giving them God. If God is love, then when you love them, you're giving them God. And you're asking, how do I reach this person? How do I reach this person? I actually hear you praying, God, give me the scripture to share with them. In this circumstance, he'd rather you love them and go pour out love on them, take them to lunch, encourage them, listen to them, love them first, and then give them a scripture. Because if you give them a scripture without love, you're giving them knowledge without understanding. You're giving them his words without his nature. So go love them. He's calling you to love those that aren't loving you back. There's someone else in the room that's also experiencing the pain of a family member that you keep trying to love, and may even be a spouse, Lord Jesus, that you're loving and they're not loving you back in the same capacity. The Lord says, I know what that's like. He feels your suffering, and he's right in the middle of that circumstance with you. He's right there in the middle of that circumstance with you. He knows what you're going through, and he will sustain you. He will sustain you through this. But your commitment has to be to love them without requirement. He's giving you, it's about you, really, giving you an understanding of true agape, that I will love you to the fullest extent, even when you will only love me a little bit. This is not about what's happening to you in this relationship. It's about what's happening in you. And as you grow in that love without requirement, you're going to win that person because love always wins. I know it's painful. I know what it's like to love and not be loved back, but not on the level Jesus does. It's painful. It's the cross. The cross is not without pain. I'm sorry. I know it's truth, but I believe you have ears to hear today. I believe you can handle it. Keep loving and up your dosage of love. Up your dosage. Pour out. It's a love that says, for God loved the world that he gave. It's a different kind of love. It's a deeper love. Do you want the depth of who he is? Well, he is love. So you have to explore all the depth of love. There's someone in the room that you suffer from a car. I'm feeling my own pain. You suffer from a car wreck. A car wreck that you should have really not survived, but I don't know who that is in the room, but the Lord says there are some reciprocated long-term effects of that. He's coming in to heal it, but not just to heal it for healing's sake. He's coming in to heal it. I mean, maybe somebody even watches a replay or something, but he's coming in to heal it, to express his love to you. You have to understand that this God is a God of love. Everything he does is love. Even the cross wasn't for redemption's sake. The cross was for love's sake. The cross is great. We wouldn't have access to our Father. But the reason why the Father was willing to do that for us was because he loves us. It's the precept to the concept of everything you're going through is he's getting you to go grow in love, because you keep saying, I want to grow in God. And he goes, okay, I'll have you love the unlovable. I'll have you love people that won't, there's no unlovable. I'll have you love people that won't love you back. But there's unforgiveness attached to this pain, physical pain. And so I want to encourage you to seek the Lord to who you really need to truly forgive. It's our due diligence for the love that's been poured out to us. So I want to pray for another person in the room. We all struggle with this. So this could be generic if it was so pointed. The Lord's actually pointing someone out. But there's a struggle with a feeling of, it's not just self-worth, it's a feeling of insignificance. You know your worth, you know you're worth something, you know you're worth love, you know you're worth redemption, but you have a feeling of insignificance. And I want to tell you something, insignificance is a lie. You're choosing to believe a lie. And I'm sorry, I know that's strong, but you're choosing to believe a lie, and the Lord has an assignment for you. You need to quit believing that lie so he can work through you. You feel small. You feel like everybody's a giant standing around you. And the Lord says, come up higher. You're an eagle. Flying at heights that other birds can't fly with less toil. Come up and realize that you're seated in heavenly places. You're not insignificant. Insignificance is a lie. He's called you to be salt and light. Rise up and take your place. Rise up, holy warrior. Rise up, son and daughter. Mature. It's time. Mature. It's not condemnation. If you receive condemnation with this, you need to deal with the spirit of rejection. We're going to uproot that right now in the name of Jesus. It's time. It's a holy, blessed calling. Insignificance is a lie. Quit believing the lie in Jesus' name. Choose truth. I set before you life and death. The lie leads to death. It's from death. Look at yourself in the morning and say, when you look in the mirror and say, I refuse to believe the lie that I am what people said I am. I am not what people said I am. I am who he says I am. Lord, I pray for comfort. Now, the Holy Spirit is a comforter, so comfort that heart. There's actually multiple hearts that are feeling this right now, this insignificance thing, but there's one specific person that there's a stronghold of that lie, and that lie has got to go. But Lord, bring comfort and peace and joy. And hear his voice. Hear his voice say, you are valuable. You have worth. I don't purchase garbage. I paid the greatest price because you were worth the greatest price. You have an assignment. You have a plan. The plan is to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope in the future. To be a witness. It's not to go witness. There was never go witness.
It was be a witness. Let your light shine. That is the witness. Focus on loving him, knowing him, time with him, and your light will so shine. Just like, you know, Moses didn't go up and say, Lord, put your light of your glory on my face. He just spent time with the Lord and the glory shone on his face. There's no strategy. It's just time equity with him. There's no strategy to be an effective minister. You can become a minister through knowledge, but to be an effective minister, it's time equity with the Lord. It's an ancient key. It's a precept. You will never get what you're trying to walk out and fulfill. Many of us that are listening, we just love to lay our head down at night knowing we were fully poured out in our Father's pleas. You will never get that without relationship and time equity with him. You can go to conferences. You can have ordinations. You can have your nonprofit. You can do all these things. But if you do not have time equity with him, it will be as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. There's no way around the requirement of time equity with the Lord. I want to speak to a heart that is almost like I see like a limb being torn from you. Somebody was ripped out of your life, maybe death even, or divorce. But someone you just like, I see a limb just being ripped off. That's so painful. It's almost unbearable. But let the comforter comfort you. Father, I speak to that heart right now that's in deep, deep pain. Pain so deep they can't even talk about it. God, bring your love and healing. If after this call someone wants to identify themselves that that's them, the rest of the room needs to love on them.
That's me, Thomas. This thing with my husband is just breaking my heart.
Father, we just decree and declare deep, deep healing. Lord, go deep where the pain is so deep she can't even talk about it anymore. She's so, God, I feel what she's feeling. You're letting me feel a little bit of what she's feeling, and it's exhausting. It's exhausting to wage this war against trauma. And so, Lord, come in and deeply heal. Let the healing balm of Gilead come through love. The compassion of the Lord is over you, Josephine. The compassion of the Lord is over you. He has walked this suffering. He has walked the suffering of rejection, of loving without being loved back the same way. He has felt this. He has walked it, and he says, I overcame, and so will you. Mighty, mighty daughter, so will you. And Lord, we just come against the spirit of rejection. You will not take a foothold. You will not be a root. We chop you down and we understand that we are accepted in the beloved. And because of that, we need no one else. We want everyone to accept us, but we need no one else to accept us. Josephine, I release you in Jesus' name from needing the acceptance of that person, from needing the love of that person. We all want it, but loving without requirement means I love you no matter how you love me back. And I declare that freedom from the pain, the sting of rejection. Freedom and liberty. Fear that you might be rejected again. Fear that you might not have worth because the person next to you doesn't see it. Fear that you'll never be whole again. That is a lie. I come against that lie in Jesus' name. The lie that says I'll never be whole again. That is a lie. It is a lie. It is a lie from the pit of hell. You will be whole again. But healing takes time. And more important, it takes time equity with the Lord. You will be whole. Come on, everybody in the room right now, look at her in her eyes. Look at her in her eyes. Josephine, look at them. Look past their flesh. Look to the kingdom of heaven in them. Tell her, you will be whole. Come on, speak that up.
You will be healed.
You will be healed. Okay, look at her. Look at her. You're Christ to her right now. You are completely loved. Come on, tell her. You are completely loved.
Yes, you are.
And you are worth love.
And you are worth love. You're so worth love.
I just see a big hugging session coming on, okay? You guys love on her. He cries to her. Guys, I have to go. Much love for every single one of you. I'm so happy that God is moving on your behalf. God is with you. Don't believe any other lie.